Right now on VFN TV, we're going to talk about President Trump's first 100 days. Also, we're going to be talking about the 50th year anniversary of the 1967 Six-Day War, the celebration of its victory in the unification of Israel and the Independence Day in Israel. It's an exciting program. Join us right now.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
What Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence. And God put a mercy visit instead. He put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no. There's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom, the evil one was on trial, and the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns it back towards the judge, and as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down, and the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year.
Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I'm here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well, and ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president. I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again in America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never, ever fail to touch my heart. That's I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to his will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already?
It's repaired as soon as I took
the... 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's repaired.
I've known the president and I've known his family and his team for a long time. And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homeland. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, he told the world, we are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, your host, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Well, it's been 100 days for our new president, President Donald Trump, and we want to just take a look at his first 100 days and the accomplishments. So you think about this. This is a man who was a businessman, but he wasn't a politician. He had to be able to come into Washington, D.C. and begin to move amongst politicians to make the changes that he was talking about on the campaign trail, and he did make some serious changes. Let's take a look.
And that is the peaceful transfer of power. The 45th president of the United States is now Donald J. Trump.
He said, I will fight for you with every breath in my body, and I will never let you down. So we do have some breaking news, because while it is about celebration, it is also now about policy.
Oh, that's right, Aaron. President Trump went right to work. He went right into the Oval Office shortly after he departed from...
Is day two going to be as busy as day one? He met with business leaders. He met with union leaders. He signed a bunch of stuff. He fulfilled some campaign promises. What's left?
The pace over the past 10 days has been astronomical. Everybody in official Washington I talked to said, I cannot believe he's only been president for 10 days.
Dan, I think you got to admit, they did a pretty impressive job rolling out this nomination.
This is how it's supposed to be done. I mean, this is done to the T, actually even more so than we've seen in the past.
We're seeing the markets react positively. It is better than expected.
Consumer confidence rocketing to a 16-year high.
Healthy job growth again for the month of February. So is this the Trump effect?
Oh, I think it is. I think there's no question that employers like Donald Trump a lot in his agenda. And I think the fact that he's just more pro-business from the previous administration.
The Dow still nearing all-time highs, just finishing the longest quarterly winning streak in 10 years.
It was by far the best speech I've ever heard Donald Trump give. It was one of the best speeches in that setting I've ever heard any president give.
He's repairing relationships with Egypt as well as with Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states. You know, they saw Trump yesterday talk about Iran violating the spirit of the nuclear deal. So this is clearly part of a long-term strategy to reorient American foreign policy.
The bottom line is, he's done well. He has done a lot of the things that he promised, like appointing a Supreme Court judge, like getting out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, like cutting regulation.
But he's done a really good job.
Well, he's pretty close to perfect, Sean.
I'm serious.
He has done more than any president in recent history, certainly in the last half century, in the first 98 days of his presidency.
I am asking all citizens to embrace this renewal of the American spirit. I am asking all members of Congress to join me in dreaming big and bold and daring things for our country. I am asking everyone watching tonight to seize this moment, believe in yourselves, believe in your future, and believe once more in America. Thank you. God bless you.
and God bless the United States.
So exciting to see all the things that have been accomplished in this short period of time. We saw promises made. We heard prophetic words. I mean, God told me October the 3rd, I believe it was, that of 2016, that President Donald Trump, or Donald Trump at that time, would be the President of the United States. He told me that he'd be bringing in all types of Americans, all of us, to the White House. We're seeing that take place. And we're seeing this big shift. We heard there's going to be like a bulldozer going to Washington, D.C., and prophetically, and all of a sudden, here comes Donald Trump like a bulldozer, talking about draining the swamp. And then we heard about a prophetic word from a, I'll think about her name in a moment, but God gave her a vision of the swamp being drained. And it's, this is a Cindy Jacobs. We have that on VFNTV.com. But also, you can see it on our brand new YouTube channel as well. Just search for VFNTV on YouTube, and you can see that prophetic word right there. But God is just shifting. And one thing that's happening simultaneously to these first 100 days in this new direction, and of course, a lot of people who liked the status quo and people who were for aborting children, for funding Planned Parenthood, for befriending the enemies of Israel, they're upset right now. But the people that are for God, for Israel, for the country, for the Constitution, for Supreme Court justice that actually loves the Constitution and honors it, they're happy and for God. And so it's just there's always going to be some difference of opinions, but this is great what God's doing. It is really great. Well, simultaneously, you know, we'll be talking about the program in a moment, that our president is going, President Trump is going to be going to Jerusalem. But before we do that, Vice President Pence is welcoming our Jewish friends in America and around the world in the White House and celebrating Israel's Independence Day in the White House. And the independence, of course, is in 1948 when Harry Truman, you know, signed the papers backing Israel becoming a nation. Can a nation be born in today? Well, it really was. So that's 69 years ago. And it is so encouraging to see all of these yarmulkes in the White House, where you're seeing them take the pictures, and these Jewish brothers there and sisters in the White House. And it's just so, as a matter of fact, we're going to have to go to break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to take you right to the White House with Vice President Pence welcoming them for the Independence Day. Welcome to their Jewish friends and brothers. Join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Everybody yes. will love it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I mean, when you love the Word of God, I mean, it's exciting in your abiding time. By the way, beginning to abide now. Learning how to abide with God is so important, because he says, apart from abiding in me, Jesus said, you can't even do any of this. And we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You know, most people want to abide. They want to spend that time with God, but they need a plan. We have a free plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You just fill out that little simple request thing. It comes right to you in your email, and it's a great step-by-step how you can begin to abide with him. Listen, you want to begin to hang out with the king, since his kingdom is manifesting.
Right.
It's going to be the greatest thing he's ever done in the face of the earth. It's about to happen. You want to know the king.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Right before going to break, we were talking about being able to go to the White House. I'm excited about showing that to you, and we didn't have enough time before the break. This is, like I said, this is Vice President Mike Pence celebrating the Israel's Independence Day by bringing in our Jewish citizens and friends from around the country, and I believe around the world. It's just so exciting to be able to see that. As a matter of fact, let's go join Vice President Mike Pence now in the White House.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ambassador. Thank you all for being here. And on behalf of the First Family, welcome to the White House. I bring greetings from the President of the United States of America, President Donald Trump. On behalf of President Trump, just a few minutes ago, I had the distinct honor to wish a happy Independence Day to Prime Minister Netanyahu over the phone as we celebrate the 69th anniversary of the independence of America's most cherished ally, the Jewish state of Israel. I want to thank all the distinguished guests who are here and members of Congress who've made time to come to the White House this afternoon, and people representing a broad spectrum of Americans who all cherish the relationship that the American people have enjoyed throughout these 69 years with the people of Israel. It's humbling to be here with you on this remarkable and even a hallowed day. To Secretary Steven Mnuchin, to Ambassador David Friedman. Senator Orrin Hatch, who has been a great, great champion for Israel all these many years in the United States Senate. Distinguished members of Congress, including Congressman Peter King, who's with us today. The Republicans and Democrats who are gathered here, honored guests, my fellow friends of Israel, thank you. On behalf of the President of the United States, just thank you for being here today at the White House to celebrate this day, the anniversary of a moment that will be remembered for eternity. You're all here, all of you, regardless of your home, your creed, because on this day, the fifth day in the month of Iyar, in the Hebrew calendar in 1948, nothing short of a miracle occurred. On that day, in the ancient and eternal homeland of the Jewish people, the state of Israel was reborn in our time. On that day, the Jewish people's 2,000-year exile, the longest exile of any people anywhere, ended. And on that day, a prophecy literally came to pass. And I believe in my heart that God himself fulfilled his promise to his people. The Lord God tells us in the old book, "Behold, I will cause breath to enter into, and ye shall live." And Israel lives today. Today and every day, the state of Israel and her people bear witness to God's faithfulness as well as their own. How unlikely was Israel's birth? How much more unlikely has been her survival? And how confounding, against all odds, both past and present, has been her thriving? Since the moment of their independence, the Israeli people have awed the world with their strength of will and their strength of character. They've turned the desert into a garden, scarcity into plenty, and the people of Israel have turned hope into a future of security and prosperity. And at all times, in war and in peace, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, have held their heads high. Every day, Israel takes the curses and slanders of too much of the world and turns them into blessings. The dignity of the people of Israel rebukes all who condemn them, not for what they do wrong, but they condemn them for what they do right. And under President Donald Trump, let me assure you of this. If the world knows nothing else, the world will know this. America stands with Israel. President Trump stands with Israel for the same reason that every freedom-loving American stands with Israel, because her cause is our cause. Her values are our values, and her fight is our fight. And President Donald Trump is a lifelong friend and supporter of the state of Israel and its people. You know, I've seen firsthand the president's deep affection for Israel and all who cherish her, and so is the world. Just last week, President Trump stood with Holocaust survivors during the National Days of Remembrance, and he declared, quote, "I will always stand with the Jewish people, and I will always stand with our great friend and partner, the State of Israel." my part, my Christian faith compels me to cherish Israel, as well as our deep alliance and historical ties. The songs of the land of the people of Israel were the anthems of my youth when I was growing up. You know, my wife and I had the privilege of visiting Israel in 2004 and 2008, and we fulfilled a lifelong dream to bring all of our children to the Holy Land in December of 2014. It was a joy inexpressible. So let me say with confidence to all who are gathered here, President Trump stands without apology for Israel, and he always will. Just look at the actions our president has taken since he took office. The president named David Friedman to represent the United States of America in Israel. The president named Governor Nikki Haley to be America's ambassador to the United Nations. And the president of the United States, as we speak, is giving serious consideration to moving the American embassy in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
This is so exciting to see all the yarmulkes in the White House, because the previous administration, it was the bipolar opposite of that.
Yeah.
You know, they were having, what was the dinners? The Ishtar
dinner? No.
Ishtar dinner?
Ishtar, I think.
Ishtar dinners and, you know, Islam and having, you know, celebrating.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot. A lot of that. Even the Muslim Brotherhood was reportedly coming in, part of that. Just kind of celebrating Islam instead of celebrating Judaism or Christianity.
It's a new day. It's a new day and a new season.
I heard that there wasn't even a declaration for a National Day of Prayer. Was it even made during that?
That's what I heard. I heard that from Greg Larry, Pastor Greg Larry,
yes,
mentioned that in the previous administration, that President Obama did not commemorate the National Day of Prayer,
which is actually in the law,
that he's required to do.
Yeah, to say a day of, you know, prayer and seeking the Lord and coming together, even as an individual. But that's happening now.
Oh, yes.
This is definitely an awesome month that's taking place, the month of May.
Not only that, but Greg continues to say that there's other ministers and pastors who are going to have a meeting with President Trump.
We're going to have him on our next program. So
I encourage,
if you have not, make sure you join us in our next program, because we're going to have Greg Lowry on. He's speaking specifically about North Korea and how this fits into end time prophecy and how things could just shift suddenly. Yeah. And so make sure you join that. And if it's Greg Lowry talking about it, you better be concerned,
yeah.
He doesn't talk about these things, the best of my knowledge. So May, the president's going to be going to Israel.
Yes.
On May the 23rd, 22nd.
Through the 23rd, yes.
Tell us what's going on there.
Well, he's going to Israel during that period. But many people are suggesting, including the vice president, that at this historic time that president, remember, the previous administration didn't go to Israel until their second term, and only the stuff that was happening didn't.
We thought it was so exciting. Remember the speech he gave? President Obama gave the speech, and we're like, yes, yes. At the very end of it, he says, "But to do this, we're going to take it to the United Nations, where they have the unstoppable Islamic voting bloc, so we can."
And
take
you young people in college, don't listen to your elders.
That's what they said.
Just do what you want to do.
I was so let down, because we were pumped. We were listening to the speech live. We're on the air. We're going, "This is great. This is great." And at the very end,
It was flattery, because the first 45 minutes of this speech, it's the best thing any president, or any person could possibly say about Israel, only for the last moment to get uppercut with such a really devastating blow.
You know, he's a brilliant, you know, he knows how to work his narrative and what he wants to do. But thank God for the new narrative.
Well, which makes this time so much more special with our president, President Trump, and this trip. His first thing he does almost within the first 100 days is go to Israel.
Yes.
And Vice President.
Well, the first call he made was to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yes.
It was fixed in one phone call. They fixed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So relationships fixed, not a problem.
Right.
Well, I want you to hear Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, as he shares.
Because you're saying this, because we might have missed it, that the assumption is going to be, because the president promised during his campaign that he was going to move Jerusalem's, Tel Aviv, the U.S. embassy, and it's in Tel Aviv, to move it to the capital of Israel, which is Jerusalem, which is already in the law for us to do it. But he was going to do it. So
every previous president since then, from Bill Clinton, was kicking a can and
pushing
it.
They write a special things and this is not good. But they're assuming that, and it's just like, I think, President Trump to go there and say, as a matter of fact, he's going to say, potentially, we're about to hear it in May, that we're going to move the embassy to, if you want the embassy, if you're in Israel and you're listening to this, you want the embassy to be moved to Jerusalem, start cheering him on. He'll be
going to move that thing.
That's
right. Well, in fact, if you're watching his program, contact your senator, contact your congressman, and tell him you want to be behind President Trump in making sure this move happens.
And the reason why is, it is the Capitol. That's where all embassies are, in the Capitol. But yeah, this is Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, talking about that specific thing. Let's take a look.
And the President of the United States, as we speak, is giving serious consideration to moving the American Embassy in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
So you're looking at this very thing. We've got so much we're going to talk about because this is the 50th anniversary of the unification of Israel, their victory in the Six-Day War. This is amazing days. Prophetically, it's the year after the Shemitah, which is the Jubilee year.
It's the Jubilee. Yeah, it's the month of May. It's a beautiful month.
You got to catch our next program because we're going to talk about, you know, it's 5 years for us that we've been on the air and what God said to us. But right now we have this offer for you. I want to send this offer to you. It is a message I believe that's going to inspire you. It'll give you courage for where we are in this day because you know it's digital. I mean, even your toaster is digital today. But how do we respond as Christians? You know, there was people riding on horseback, for example, and we had cars. For us to go, listen, I'm going to ride a horseback and I'm going to evangelize everybody. And somebody says, why don't you get in the car? It's like, no, that's evil. Mm-hmm. And there was people that thought automobiles were evil. But the thing about it was another way to get the gospel out. And so these things keep happening. Right now we have what's called the Great Digital Divide. You know, where you have phones that are carrying so much information right now, more they said reportedly than the rockets that went to the moon on them. And so we got to find out how do we respond to that. And we want to send this to you for your gift of any amount whatsoever. Do you know it's your financial gifts that when you give to VFN-TV, it allows us to be able to stay on the air. So for that, we want to be able to give this to you at no cost. We want to send it to you. Here's the details now.
Offer 2031, The Digital Divide, making sense of our new digital culture. Where do Christians fit in this digital age in our culture? We are without a doubt at a point with technology, which is like the continental divide in America. Which way will the water decide to go after coming all the way from Canada? Will it go east or will it go west? In this message, we'll take a raw look at the facts, such as Oxford saying 47% of jobs are at risk because of technology taking those jobs from truck driving to service jobs to what one says is 15% of all the jobs on the earth. You'll be enlightened with God's word and how to look at the age in which we now live, and you'll learn how to approach it from a kingdom perspective. If you've been confused and not sure of how to approach this age of technology, you'll gain a clear direction. And I believe your mind will be transformed in how to operate in such a time and age. It's vital to have this wisdom, for we are close to the end times becoming now times, one of which is to do with technology and a beast economy and how we do business in the world. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. You can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV. That's 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2031, The Digital Divide, making sense of our new digital culture.
TV. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Why, if the government says that abortion is not murder, is Scott Peterson being charged with the murder of his wife and his unborn child?
In California, in order to get the death penalty, you have to have two counts of murder. So the DA there wisely indicted on both counts, both one count for the mother and one count for the unborn child, Connor Peterson. It was, you know, a crime to have the child killed by a murder, by an act of murder. But in California, for instance, under the district court's ruling, the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act, which prevents basically infanticide, was deemed to be unconstitutional. So it is a dual nature, and there's no way to rationally justify it. It's just, this is what I call the abortion distortion factor. It's as if the rules change when you're litigating over abortion.
Get involved. Find out how at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Danny Coates is a coach in Newport News, Virginia, and he asked me to talk about hope. Well, Napoleon said leaders are dealers in hope, and here's what I know. Leaders come into any situation, regardless of how dire and dark it may be, and they have the ability to help people see the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, I'm not talking about creating false hope with people. I'm not talking about hyping people. I oppose that completely. But I am talking about seeing in the dark time the opportunity, because there is always the seed of opportunity that is planted in the field of discouragement and despair. But you have to look for it. The difference between leaders and followers is leaders see the opportunity and the hope, and followers normally see the problems. What a gift you are as a leader when you walk into their life, give them hope, and show them the opportunity.
I want to welcome our VFN TV audience, our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and on the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday. Also our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. If you've been missing our program, or you're saying, I wish I would have got that, or would have got this. If you sign up for the Torch newsletter, go to VFNTV.com. I believe in the upper right-hand corner, it says newsletter sign up. Just go there. Mm-hmm. And every single week, you're going to get a summary of what happened that week in a way that you can just kind of glance right through it and say, what do you want to watch? What do you want to hear? What do you want to share? And we want to make sure whatever way you can get it. But by signing up for the Torch, you know, that makes that possible for you. In other words, you can listen throughout the week, but you can summarize it at the end of the week to make sure that you didn't miss something that you need to know.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, we're excited about talking about what's taking place in the White House with celebrating Israel's Independence Day, yes, but also with Israel. In Israel, they're getting ready for the 50th anniversary of the Six-Day War, the unification of Israel. And
reunification of Jerusalem.
Reunification of Jerusalem. And a lot of people don't know about the Six-Day War, what really took place in 1967. And so we have, you know, Prager University, right? Dennis Prager does a real good job of just quickly explaining it. So this is what they're celebrating. They're celebrating that, you know, originally when Israel became a nation, they didn't have Jerusalem in there, because that's what the United Nations was drawing out and that type of thing.
But Balfour Declaration.
In 1967, they came in trying to war against Israel, so they had to take it. As a matter of fact, they took a lot of things and they gave it back. They took Jordan, they took the Egypt. West Bank, they took Egypt, the northern parts, has the oil in it, they took that. And then they just said, okay, if they cut a peace deal with Egypt that allowed them to get their land back. And I mean, Israel is just an amazing,
giving, blessed nation.
So this is why we got to have Jerusalem, because it's undefensible borders if you go back to 1967 border lines. But let's take a look. What happened in 1967, Prager University? Dennis Prager.
In 1967, the dictator of Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, announced his plan, in his words, to destroy Israel. He placed Egyptian troops on Israel's border, and armies of surrounding Arab countries were also mobilized to attack. However, Israel preemptively attacked Egypt and Syria. Israel did not attack Jordan and begged Jordan's king not to join the war. But he did. And only because of that did Israel take control of Jordanian land, specifically the West Bank of the Jordan River. Shortly after the war, the Arab states went to Khartoum, Sudan, and announced their famous three no's. No recognition, no peace, and no negotiations. What was Israel supposed to do?
So that's why Jerusalem is part of Israel today. Jordan was part of Israel. Yeah. Egypt was part of Israel. And really the true lines of Israel's borders, you can read them in the Old Testament. It shows you where they're much bigger than
what it is now. Sure.
A coming land grab is actually coming soon, I believe, prophetically. And Pastor John Kilpatrick talked about that with Church of His Presence. But wouldn't it be cool, John, to be able to go back and just kind of be a fly on the wall or a fly on the mound, the Temple Mount, just to see what was going on during the time that they took Jerusalem?
Yeah. Well, think about it. They didn't have Jerusalem. The Temple Mount was there.
Right.
It's today, the Jews go there all the time. They don't go to the Temple Mount, but it's the Wailing Wall. Mm-hmm. And so they had a longing always to be there. And so, imagine all these years they're not able to go.
In the process of defending themselves, having to have preemptive strikes on their enemy who's about to try to push them in the sea, they ended up with Jerusalem. Mm. But guess what? We have some footage to be able to take you there to what it was like when they got Jerusalem back in 1967. Just a little bit of footage. Take a look. This is so exciting. It's like being a fly on the wall. You got to see what it took place. And remember, just like Dennis Prager said, that wasn't their intentions. They didn't want to go to war, but they had to be able to defend themselves because they were trying to, over and over again, the enemies of Israel say, we want to destroy you and push you into the sea. And so in the byproduct of that, prophecy was fulfilled and Jerusalem came back and never again will she be trodden upon.
Wow.
That's the prophecy. Yeah. Once she's back in the hands of Israel or the Jews, that she won't leave again.
Yeah.
So all this huff and puff and things that are going on about trying to take Jerusalem. Isn't it interesting? How many square inches are there on the globe of the earth?
Square inches?
Yeah. Just checking to see if you were listening.
Yeah.
But imagine you got all this land on the earth. And you can have anything, but why do you want Jerusalem?
Why Israel? Why Jerusalem?
It's like two siblings fighting each other, and it's like, why do you want the toy that's in his hand?
Yeah,
because that's God's property.
Special city. Yeah. Special city.
But it's God's.
The city of David belongs to the Lord.
Yes.
And still today, three religions, claim home. Jerusalem as a home. You have, of course, the Jews, Islam, and Christianity.
Right.
But it belongs to the Jews. It belongs to
Islam. Didn't call it their claim until Barak.
Yeah, until later.
The donkey that rode Barak. The donkey was called Barak. That carried Muhammad, and he landed a flying donkey. Right? Is this right? Landed on the Temple Mound there, the area, and that's when they began to do the Al-Asamas or something like that. You can verify that. On the torch, but it was the horse or the donkey was called Barak. Well, they're celebrating. They're celebrating right now in Israel, the festival for the 50th year, and they're getting ready for it. As a matter of fact, let's take a look now.
Shalom from Jerusalem. This year, we celebrate the return of the Jewish people to their eternal capital. I'm honored to send my best wishes to the Israeli-American Council as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the reunification of Jerusalem. Since reuniting Jerusalem 50 years ago, Israel has celebrated the rich diversity of our city. We have maintained freedom of religion, movement, and expression for all of our city's residents. These values are the core of Israel's democracy. They are values that are the basis of our enduring bond with our strongest ally, the United States. As Mayor of Jerusalem, I'm committed to upholding the promise of our city as a center of openness and unity for all people. thank you for joining the Israeli-American Council to celebrate the reunification of Jerusalem on this historic anniversary. Let me conclude with a blessing that we all meet next year here in Jerusalem.
What's so interesting about this is a big celebration that you have Israel's independence and you have the unification, and it's like May is this,
so special month,
spiritual month, you know, May Day, and that there's something taking place all over the world right now in May. And I encourage you to be alert, because anytime good things begin to happen, people in strongholds who wanted bad things and thought they had a bad thing figured out, they get upset. But that's what happens when God starts to deliver a nation and deliver a people. And so, you know, you don't pay attention to that. But this is an exciting day. So you have the unification, that the reason why Jerusalem is in Israel now, and it always was, but men weren't allowing that to happen. So they got it back in the Six-Day War in 1967. Well, it's because they had to defend themselves. The UN, UNESCO, the initials are, but part of the UN just voted against Israel having sovereignty over Jerusalem.
Shocker.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what's so interesting, we'll talk more about it in a moment, or we have already, but again, is that our president, President Trump, is still going to move our embassy, it looks like, from Tel Aviv to the capital, Jerusalem, which makes it real for the whole world once we move our whole embassy to Jerusalem.
Which reminds me of what Brother John Kirkpatrick said, Pastor John Kirkpatrick of Church of His Presence. He said that when President Trump does that officially,
that's the reason why he got in.
He'll be lifting the cap off financial blessing off of America.
As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, we're going to show you exactly what the Lord said, revealed prophetically to Pastor John Kirkpatrick, about why he put Trump in, President Trump in. It has to do with Israel, has to do with generals, and has to do with keeping Israel in their land. Make sure you join us after the break.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN-TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We have people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN-TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'm so excited about Kingdom Impact 100. It's going to be coming soon. But imagine this, 100 people. Once a year, who give, and you know, they can give throughout the year, but at the end of the year, they've given $1,000, and they determine where the $100,000 is going to go. And you have to do this. You have to pray and meet all year long. What is the kingdom? What is the kingdom? Because this whole, you know, Kingdom Impact 100 is not about, you know, let me just go, you know, get some soup at the soup kitchen. Let me go do this. I mean, that could be kingdom, but you have to really hunt and pray and ask God, what is the kingdom? Reveal your kingdom to me. It's seeking
beautiful.
It, right?
Wow.
And imagine, you know, if they found out that what you were doing is kingdom, and all of a sudden this group of 100 gave you a check for $100,000.
Wow.
That's what we want to do.
For the advancement of the kingdom.
VFN Kingdom Business. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, we're talking about the 50th anniversary of the unification of Israel, also the independence, celebration Independence Day in Jerusalem. And our president is going to be there. President Trump's going to be there May the
22nd through the 23rd.
Yeah.
On Jerusalem Day, where they're celebrating the reunification of Jerusalem.
Of all the days. It would be a perfect way to celebrate Jerusalem Day than to say, let's move the United States.
Are you for it? I'm for it.
I am so for it. I am so for it. And the stage is being set.
Yeah.
You know, God wanted Jerusalem to be in Israel's possession. Mm-hmm. Israel was wanted to be left alone. But it's not Israel's decision what God wants to do. It's not our decision what God
wants
to
do.
And so all of a sudden this war came in, and that war enabled them to have Jerusalem. And so God's working out his will. The prophecy, the things that God has done, and he loves Israel, and he's going to save Israel, and he's going to protect Israel. But, you know, think how strategic this is, John. Our president's going to Jerusalem, mm-hmm. going to Israel in a couple of days, and he's going to be there on Jerusalem Day. And he's talked about in his campaign, and vice presidents, we just heard Vice President Pence talked about, it's possibly going to happen. Of course, he didn't want to spill his press, I'm sure.
He's giving serious concern.
Serious
with his
concern.
Exact words.
But listen to what God said. This is what God said to Pastor John Kilpatrick, a Church of His Presence, the exact reason why he was going to put Donald Trump in office. Take a look.
I was riding along the highway last Thursday evening. I was engaged in a conversation by cell phone with my administrator regarding budget matters. As I was listening to her answer a question, I heard Holy Spirit interrupt me and said, "How do you spell Truman?" I thought for a moment, and I said, T-R-U-M-A-N. He then said, "How do you spell Trump?" And I said, T-R-U-M-P. I immediately made the connection. He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homes. What was will be again. He then asked me, how do you spell truth? I said, T-R-U-T-H. The Lord said, he's changing the appetites of people. Instead of the public now rejoicing in rumors, they will now become excited to hear the truth again. They will develop a love for the truth and reject the lies as well as the liars. This will not be true of everyone in every place, but a shift has already happened. Truth had fallen in the streets, but I tell you, I'm lifting it up again, and it shall cause great rejoicing. I, the Lord, have done this by my own power, by my right arm of might, and by my justice. Give God praise. Hallelujah.
That's so powerful. Understand that God is just shifting in the earth right now. You're seeing things move. You're seeing things that were just kind of left there and were unjust, and they were doing things they shouldn't be doing, persecuting people they shouldn't be persecuting, period, and persecuting Christians and Jews. And North Korea is the greatest persecutor of Christians in the world. And just things are shifting right now. Well, one of the epicenters of the shift, of course, is Israel. Everhow goes Israel, so goes the nations, and so goes the church. And so we're seeing them move into a jubilee. We're seeing them shift. I mean, they weren't trying to get Jerusalem in 67. They were trying to get safe. But in the turn, God says, I want you to have all this land.
Just like God, isn't it?
Yes, just like God. And just because UNESCO, the United Nations little group, just voted against Israel having sovereignty over their own piece of property, America's already voted. Our Congress has already made a law. We have it established that we acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Yes.
Not the capital of Palestine. Not the capital of Palestine.
Even the Democratic Party actually made it part of their platform. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, this, it's right. a known thing.
Right. And so it's a law. It's in our law. Every year, a president has had to sign a waiver to kind of bump it down the road. But it's the fact that President Trump, this is what the interesting thing that I see in President Trump's presidency so far. He's just enforcing the laws that have been on the books all along.
Yes, and doing what he said he's going to do.
But think about it. It's the Homeland Security man, whoever he is right now, I can't think of his name. But
General
Kelly saying specifically that I'm just enforcing the laws. These are laws that have been on the books. If you want to change this, change the laws. And so we had all these laws on the books that we weren't enforcing. And that's why we're having so many issues. And there's laws about Israel on the books. That says specifically that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel and that our embassy is supposed to be in Jerusalem, which means the only thing our president would be doing in May 22nd and 23rd would be saying, I want to be able just to follow the law.
Abiding the law. Imagine that.
Well, he says, you know, one thing he said, we're a nation of laws, you know, and he's for that. He's, I mean, so we're looking. And God said to Pastor John Kilpatrick, you just heard the whole reason why that God put President Trump in the office was so that he could, and he would give him generals so that he can make sure that nobody can push Israel out of their land.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting. I mean, when you think about it, the last 8 years of the previous administration, it was seemed as if everything was designed in the Middle East to almost push Israel out.
Yeah. Bipolar opposite.
You are correct with this Iranian deal, giving them the ability to do the enrichment for this, you know, nuclear bomb potentially, as well as billions, I believe, of dollars.
Hundreds of billions of cash.
Cash.
Yeah.
You know, who does that?
Right.
Not someone that's favorable.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Not favorable towards Israel.
It befriended and gave the, reportedly, the Iron Curtain to the Iron Wall missiles to Turkey, which is now basically has a dictatorship because they voted out their own. This is important to remember. When Hitler got into power, he was voted in by the people. They liked what he was saying. And so it's not unusual for people to say, when God's going, listen, I want you to have Samuel. I'll talk directly to him. He'll tell you what I'm saying, and everything's going to be fine. It's not unusual for people to say, we want a king like them. We want to be like them.
Yeah.
Israel did that, and men have always done that if we turn away from God. And God finally said, you're not rejecting, you know, you're not rejecting Samuel, you're rejecting me. Give them what they want. And Turkey just voted in, and he pushed for a long time, but they voted in this dictatorship. Well, we got to be very careful in America that we have a lot of people that are proclaiming things. If that got fulfilled, it would be the end of us. I don't know if we're fixing the end to go to the end of the program right here, but these are exciting days. What will actually sustain us is standing with Israel, acknowledging God, holding our borders, going back to our Constitution. And as Christians in America, is to turn back to God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. So we're like, we hold the keys. And I want to pray for you right now. We're about to come to an end. We always want to close out in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for Israel. I thank you for what you are doing. I pray that for safety to be over Israel, protection over our president when he travels there and travels back. God, we pray that you would touch his heart and encounter him, Lord, a boldness to be able to move, publicly acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of Israel by moving our embassy from Tel Aviv to Israel. God, I pray that, I thank you that you raise up these generals to be able to stand with them, God. We pray, Lord, that you would stop the persecution and the nuclear capabilities in North Korea, God, and that would just stop, Father God. And we just pray right now, Father God, that you would protect all of our authorities, Father God, in their place, Father God. Protect our military that's in the China Sea right now, God. Lord, and we ask you, in America, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.